Hey, if you have a copy of God's Word, why don't you find the Gospel of John? If you're new to the Bible, John's going to be in the New Testament. We're going to be in John chapter 1. Hey, my name is Chad. I have the privilege of serving as one of the young adult pastors here on staff, and it's so good to meet you guys, to have you here with us tonight, and I'm really excited about where we're headed tonight. But before we get there, and I had the privilege to go with my family yesterday to hang out with some people that we just befriended. And a lot of you guys, you know some of my friends too. It's a part of a church and a part of a nonprofit that we partnered with as a church and as a ministry called Agape Pomoja. And so you can see a picture here. Here's some of our young adults that are connected with some of the kids. And so some of those kids are the kids that I got to go hang out with. So my family, we've just basically befriended this family. Their name is Solomon and Jolie. I'm not going to try to say their last name. But they have four little girls, and I have three little girls. And so yesterday, we got to go over to their house. And they live real close to us. And it was awesome because I kind of left like my normal American lifestyle. And these, the people that we got to hang out with, they're from Africa. They grew up in the Congo. And so I got to go over there, and they do things very similar, but very different as well. And so we're laughing, and I'm trying to learn Swahili. You know, the best Swahili I have is from The Lion King. You know, so I'm like, what's Rafiki mean? They're like, it means friend. I was like, I knew that. You know, and so I'm like, you know, whatever, Timon and Pumas, all that stuff. And so anyway, they're teaching me Swahili, and I'm trying it, and it's got a little bit of a country twang to it. And then they speak French, and I took French in high school, so I'm practicing some of that stuff. I lived in Louisiana for a little while, and so I got some broken French going on. And then we got to sit down, and we got to eat like a legit African meal. And so it had like this cornmeal mush. It kind of looked like grits. If you're from the South or from Florida, you've had, you know, fish and grits and that sort of thing. Kind of looked like grits. And then they had this green stuff. And I said, well, how do you say this green stuff? How do you say that in like, you know, Swahili? And they said, well, you call it fufu. I was like, fufu? Yeah, fufu. And so they taught me how to say this, and I was like, you know what this really looks like? It looks like collard greens. Y'all ever had collard greens? I asked them that question, and they had no idea what I was talking about. I said, now in the South, you get collard greens and some cornbread, and you get some pepper sauce, and it goes hard in the paint. And I don't know if y'all know about collard greens and grits, but you just need to come down the South, and I'll show y'all how to get some good down-home cooking with some pig's feet or some turkey neck, something like that. And so anyway, they had some pork on the bone with the fufu and the cornmeal, and it was this awesome experience. And listen, I love the experience. I love to meet people from all over the place. I love to eat different food. I love to go and experience different cultures because deep down inside of me, and I know this is probably true with you, man, I love to relate to people. I love to just build bridges and build relationships with people. And so I got to meet this family, and it's been awesome to begin to hang out with them. And I start there tonight because this desire that's inside of me is probably inside of everyone here tonight. Like, we've come in here tonight, and we have a desire to have relationships with people. I mean, you probably got like 17 different handles on social media, you know, as you feel like you're going to get more followers because you tweaked your handle in a certain way so it looks real cool or whatever. Or you have these desires to go to different spots in the city and be a part of different things, and you want to connect with people. And listen, we were made to do that. Like, we were made in the image of God. In the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis that Mariana read from tonight, it says that we were created in the image of God. And God in his essence is community. He is in a relationship. And so it should be no surprise that we come in here with this kind of innate desire to connect with people. And Christmas is all about God going the distance to connect with us in a relationship through the man Jesus. And so we've been in this series called Power and Light. And it's been awesome just to see how the power of the universe put on Pampers, right? And he became a baby. And we said that there is strength and there is power in weakness. And then we said that the light of the world, he has dawned upon the world. Remember last week we said, hey, you never mine for light. Like, you can't dig in the earth and bring forth light. Therefore, you also cannot dig inside of yourself, inside of your own life, and find the light that you so crave because of the darkness that we exist in. And so tonight, we're concluding the series, and we're in this message tonight that I've titled just simply The Movement. The Movement. It's the power and the light coming together. And it's an invitation to everyone here tonight to be a part of the greatest movement that has ever swept the planet Earth. It's called the church. And this movement has been this irresistible revolution that has built hospitals and orphanages and done so much good for our earth. and it's still moving, and the invitation, the roster is not full, it's open. And God wants to invite every one of us here tonight to be a part of the movement. And so tonight, I want you to see that just like I went and had an opportunity to get to know Solomon and Jolie and their little girls and eat fufu and cornmeal and just to relate, God came to relate to us. He left his heavenly abode. He left his heavenly comfort. And he stepped into time and space 2,000 years ago in the form of Jesus. And I want you to see that he's come on this mission, this rescue mission. And he had a particular message, and there was also a particular methodology in which he came. And I want you to see that you can be a part of this as well. And so we're going to be in John chapter 1. And John, I love reading the Gospel of John because he was like one of Jesus' best friends, man. He was the only disciple that was there when Jesus was taking his final breath. All the other ones, man, they left. They were scared. But John, he wasn't afraid. And so you had John and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then Mary, one of Jesus' other friends. There was a woman, and they're there at the cross, and Jesus looks down at John, and he says, John, you see my mom? I need you to take care of my mom. And he charges John. I mean, that's a pretty big deal, right? Charges John, hey, take care of my mom. And you would think that if anybody had heard the birth of Jesus and the nativity story, if anybody had heard that more than Mary, it would have been John, because he rolled with Mary for a while. But when John begins to write his eyewitness account of the life of Jesus, he doesn't write about the happenings of the nativity story like we read in Matthew and Luke. Then he writes with a unique perspective, and he writes really to give the reason why Jesus came. And so we see here in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says this, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And I love this. And the darkness did not comprehend it, or it did not overcome it. And then in verse 14, it says, and then that word, that powerful word, it became flesh. It put on a skin suit, and it dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And so I love that John uses this word, right? Because it's like, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word to his audience, to a Jewish audience, would have been like, the Word? And he's like, yeah, the Word, like Word, right? The revelation of God, like the Word that came on Mount Sinai to Moses, like the Torah. In the beginning was the Word. They're like, yeah, in the beginning was the Word. And he says, this Word has put on flesh. And to his Greek audience, they would have heard this. They would have heard the word logos. This word logos, it represented all rational principle in everything that existed. It's like this huge arm of philosophical or ontological or other big words. It just means that it's a really big deal, right? And so Jesus comes, and he is the Word made flesh. And John, what he's doing is he's taking these ideologies that were very relevant to his audience. And it's brilliant what he's doing. He's not making up some new word to describe Jesus. He just uses the word or logos. And he says, this logos, this revelation of God, this rational principle by which everything exists, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John said, this Word, it is Jesus, that the Word has become flesh, and he's dwelt among us. Hey, point number one, if you're taking notes tonight, write this simple statement down, the mission. Like Christianity is so revolutionary. It's amazing what we find here in this text that God, he came to dwell among us. No other faith system has this ideology at its center, that God became flesh and he incarnated is the big word, that he put on bone and skin and he dwelt among us. That, yeah, John's like, yeah, we've got the Word all right. We've got it. We've got it in Jesus, and his name is Jesus, that Jesus Christ is the Word of God who became flesh. He came to us as like the OG missionary. Like he came to reach us and to connect us. And the reason why Jesus came on this mission was so that he could take what he knew of God. He was God, and he was in perfect unity with God. And he could take these people that he so desperately loved, and he could connect them. And the mission that Jesus came on was to connect us in a relationship with God so that we could relate to God. And Jesus knew that we wouldn't do that on our own. Like, left to our own, none of us would seek God. But because of Christ and He and Him seeking us, we can know Christ. So if you know Christ here tonight, listen, Christ has called you to be on mission. And if you don't know Christ, Christ wants to introduce you to a relationship with God through Himself, through the sacrifice that He made on the cross for humanity. But if you know Him and you're in a right relationship with Christ, listen, Christ has reached you on the way to reach someone else. Like, He didn't just come on a rescue mission and that's it. He came on a rescue mission so that He could empower people to live a life on mission. But what does that look like practically? Like, maybe you've been in church and you've heard something like that where you're like, yeah, I need to be live a life on mission, a life of intentionality. I need to be on purpose and that sort of thing. But really, oftentimes we come to church and we hear things like that. We're like, but really, bro, like, how does that play out? Let me give you two things that you're going to need if you're going to live a life on mission. The two things you're going to need, you may want to write these things down, is you're going to need curiosity and courage. You're going to need curiosity and courage. Curiosity is this thing that really just disarms people in a relationship. You know, curiosity comes from the Latin word cura, which literally means to care for someone. And you're going to need curiosity and courage if you're going to be able to reach people and live a life on mission. And so it's real simple. This is kind of like basics to have a conversation, but I don't think that we can assume that anymore, that we know how to converse properly with one another. And so you're going to have the opportunity to meet all sorts of people, and you probably do in your life week in and week out. And you're about to go on a break. You're about to see people that you haven't seen maybe all year. You're going to be with family. You're going to be with friends. You're going to get connect with some people. Maybe you're going back to a hometown and you're traveling a little bit. Listen, you need curiosity to connect with people. And so when you go up to somebody, you need to seek to be interested in them over yourself, right? This should be basic. I'm trying to help some of you guys. Y'all need to take notes. This is how you get a date too, all right? You go up and you don't talk about you. You ask questions, okay? And you learn how to ask great questions. And so let me just give you like a really good curiosity question to ask. Hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, cool. That's neat. Tell me more about that. Or if you're with somebody that you know and you know what they do for a living, hey, if you had to tell me like the greatest thing that happened in your life this year, what would it be? Or what was the hardest thing that you went through this year? What's the biggest lesson you've learned in life? And then you just ask a great open-ended question, and then you begin to listen. And this is how you begin to live a life on mission. You go up to people, you have curiosity, and you ask questions. You may even borrow that phrase, hey, just out of curiosity, and then fill in the blank with a question. Josh McDowell, an incredible apologist and evangelist, he says this, I love this quote, he says, if we treat people with kindness, charity, and show a genuine interest in how they see the world, most people are open to discussing religious matters. That if you want to lead into a conversation that has some sort of spiritual notion in it, start off with being curious about someone. So I had the privilege to travel a couple of weeks ago, and we were passing through Denver, and we went to this great coffee shop and got coffee, and there was a lady there, and she had this little dog. It was like a really cute little dog named Mac the Denver Dog. He actually has an Instagram account, and so you could look him up, kind of a big deal. Anyway, so Mac the Denver Dog, he's like a Pomeranian, but he has like that really cool short haircut, kind of looks like a tiny lion. Anyway, so he's there, and so I just like, out of curiosity, I was like, you know, hey, I think one of my buddies, Gordon, he was with me, and he started petting the dog. He said, hey, can I pet your dog? And I was like, well, what kind of dog is that? Just out of curiosity, what kind of dog is that? Oh, it's a Pomeranian. Oh, I used to have Pomeranians that lived next door. They barked all the time. Does your dog bark all the time? Oh, she's like, oh my goodness, are you like a dog hater, you know? And I'm like, no, it's cute, it's cute. And I said, well, what do you do? And then I said, well, do you have any kids? And she's like, yeah, I have three kids. And we just begin to talk about life. And then her husband comes out. I'm like, oh, okay, well, are y'all dating? Y'all living together? And they kind of look at each other and smile. And they're like, yes, all the above. And we're married, you know. And so I was like, okay, so yeah, you're dating. You do live together. And you're married. Way to go, you know. And so he's wearing a Jayhawks hat. Bless his heart. And anyway, he's wearing a Jayhawks hat. And I'm like, hey, what year did you go to college there? And he told me, and I was like, well, maybe you know my pastor, he played football there. And anyway, we just start talking. I'm just showing interest, and because I showed interest through curiosity, it opened up an opportunity for me to have a conversation with them that led somewhere that glorified Christ. And this is simply what it looks like to live a life on mission. You go to people, you have curiosity, you say, hey, tell me about this, or you say, hey, what's your story? And you just ask them about them and then listen. It's one of the most loving things that you can do to broach a conversation. And so maybe over the break, you have curiosity with someone, and you ask them some questions. But let me give you a caution, because here's what happens, and I know this is true in my life, that oftentimes my curiosity will lead me to a place of compromise, right? Like sometimes, like you're wondering, right? You're wondering about this or that. And so listen, do not let your curiosity lead you to a place of compromise. Remember, Jesus came as the light of the world, but he came to call us to be the light of the world. 1 John 2:6 says, if we claim to live in God, then we should live the way Jesus lived. And Jesus was the light of the world, so it should be no surprise that he calls us to be the light of the world here in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. He says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so when you're seeking to relate to people and get to know people, listen, don't compromise your conviction. Let your light shine on the canvas of darkness. That if you know Christ, you were saved to shine for Christ. And so where our culture agrees with the gospel, man, celebrate it. And so we should be having fun. We should be going out on the town. We should be doing things. Man, Christianity is not some dull, you know, exchange your fun card for life in Jesus type thing, all right? When the gospel agrees with the culture, we should celebrate it and have a great time. Christianity is the most fun I've ever had. It's guilt-free fun. But where the gospel confronts our culture, we should shine. And we should not cave in. And we should live a life of change. And so it's easy in a lot of things, right? Like our gospel, I mean, the gospel, it confronts our culture in regards to the way that we treat our sex lives, in regards to the way we treat our money, in regards to the way we treat our time, in regards to the way that we treat our relationships. And where the gospel agrees with those things, man, you celebrate it, but where it confronts those things, you seek to change and be the light. And so I want you to see that God has called you to be the light. And so when you go, like, you know, seek to have a conversation with somebody, don't abuse what I'm saying here, right? Like some of y'all are like, you know, I'm just curious what my ex-boyfriend's doing. And so I'm going to hit him up because I want to lead him to Jesus. Yeah, right. All right. You just want to get some attention, okay? Or some of y'all, you're going to hang out with some of your buddies and you're like, man, I'm just going to go hang out at such and such's house and we're just going to dilly-dilly all night, you know what I'm saying? And just curious what they're up to, and maybe if there's some Bud Light, you know, we'll have a good time. And that's not what I'm talking about here. Do not let your curiosity lead you to a place of compromise. And so here's what I've been praying a lot in my life is Lord, quench my curiosity. And it's kind of a paradox, you know, be curious about people, but not about sin. And so, Lord, quench my curiosity and restore my innocence. Because somewhere along the way, I got curious about that clickbait on the internet. And I started looking at that person, or I started objectifying people. And somewhere along the way, I lost my innocence because I was curious about what was going on at that house, or what that tasted like when I took a hit of that, or, you know, I was curious about that drink or whatever. And most of the regret in your life started because you were curious about something. And so, Lord, quench my curiosity. Do not let your curiosity lead you to a place of compromise. And God, restore my innocence. So I was talking with a young adult the other day, and he really captured this really well. We went to a place called Taco El Mercandito. And if you haven't been to Taco El Mercandito, then you haven't lived yet, all right? And so if you're in Lee Summit, 291 North, it's a little hole in the wall. Most of them only speak Spanish there, and so good luck, but you will not be disappointed. You know what I'm talking about, too. And so we went there, and we broke bread or broke tacos or burritos, whatever, and we just began to talk. And I loved hearing the story because he's like, man, God has been changing my life. And he's come in, and I've just had this season of surrender. And he said, but I don't want to disown my old friends. Like, I still care deeply about these old friends. And so he just began to tell me, how do I reach out to them? What do I say to them? And that sort of thing. And I love this tension that he was wrestling with, because isn't this the tension that a lot of us find ourselves in? Maybe God has impacted your life, and you walked away from whatever that vice was that was grabbing you. But you still have a deep love for those people that you once send your face off with. And so in this season, why don't you go to them and you plan an intentional sit-down conversation with them. And you learn how to manage the tension of not giving up on people, but not giving in to the old rituals that you did, that you don't have to smoke a joint with them anymore. You don't have to get drunk with them anymore. You don't have to do all the things that you used to do with them anymore. But you better be sure that you guard yourself, and you have to be the one that's in the driver's seat. And you say, hey, I would love to meet with you at 11 a.m. over coffee. Typically, you're not getting high or getting drunk at 11 a.m., all right? Maybe 11 p.m. Some of you are like, you don't know me, bro, right? Okay, we're going to pray for you. But be careful who you hang out with. And listen, dance in the gray of this paradox. And pray that God would give you wisdom to manage that tension. But do not let your curiosity compromise your conviction. And so when I was talking with this guy, I wish I would have thought of this, but I thought of this for all of us. I think it's beneficial tonight that he was in his mind. He was beginning to think, okay, who do I need to have a conversation with? And so here's what I want you to do real quick is to pull out your notes or your phone or whatever, and I want you to make a wish list, okay? Y'all know what a wish list is, right? Probably some of y'all have already emailed or texted your folks, like, I wish that I could have these boots or that game or that car, whatever it is. You know, my mom sent me her wish list. Anyway, I want you to write down a wish list of at least three people. This isn't a wish list to Santa Claus for what you want for Christmas. This is a wish list to Christ of who you wish would come to Christ that you know. I want you to draw to mind. I see y'all, not everybody's playing along, man. We're not going to move forward until y'all get your wish list out, okay? I'm going to treat you like I do my children. Okay, all right, I'm waiting. Daddy's waiting, that kind of thing, right? And so I want you to think about that wish list. 1 to 3 names of people that you wish would come to Christ. 1 to 3 people that you wish would come. It's your wish list. Who do you wish would come to Christ? Who are those people in your life that you know that if they were to die today, they would be separated from God for eternity? Or maybe it's someone in your life that you really don't know where they stand in their relationship with Christ. Maybe it's a grandfather or grandmother, an aunt, somebody that's really good in your life, but you just don't know where they're at spiritually. Your wish list. Who do you wish would come to Christ? And listen, God has put those people in your life. If you know Christ, he's put those people in your life so you would live on mission. And so that you would be the antidote to their problem. That you would be the person, the messenger that God has put in their life. And that you would herald the gospel, that you would have a spiritual conversation with them. But listen, you're going to need curiosity. The second thing you're going to need in order to have that conversation with them is you're going to need courage. You're going to need curiosity and courage. Now, courage is that thing that helps you move from like the natural, like, hey, what do you do for a living? How's your year been? To the supernatural. This is that thing that kind of pushes you above or beyond that threshold that's withholding you from really getting into the nitty-gritty of the conversation. And so you're going to need courage. And courage comes from the Spirit of God. And so the power of the universe stepped into time through Jesus so that he could empower you in this time for Jesus. And so Jesus, one of the last things he says is in Acts 1:8, and he says this, I love this verse, such a great verse. He says, but you shall receive power. This word in the Greek is dunamis. We get a word dynamite. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, power to do what? To be really strong, to be really good looking, to be really rich. No. Power, here it is, power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This word witness, you could circle that word. It's a really punchy word in the Greek. It's the word martis in the Greek. And it's where we get our word martyr. And so Jesus has just said to his followers, you're going to receive power through the Holy Spirit to be able to face death and witness to my happenings and to my life. And it will not overtake you. You're going to be able to be a powerful witness even in the face of death. Some of y'all have heard the story of John Cho. And you see his picture right here. And John, he's a young adult who gave his life in preparation to reach a people group that he had heard that they had never had any contact with the gospel. And so John Cho, a lot of us, we hear his story and we're like, man, that's crazy. Like, why would you do that? It's so reckless. But listen, John was not reckless. He was quite calculated. If you were to go up to John and say, John, who's on your wish list? He would say, the Sinhalese people. Not just 1 or 2 or 3, but a whole people group. Okay, John, well, what are you doing about it? And what we know about John Cho's life is that he went into language school. And he began to learn surrounding languages so that when he hopefully began to incarnate and dwell with these people and relate with these people, that he could speak their language eventually. John, he knew that he was maybe disease-ridden and that he would bring upon this people group pestilence. And so he began to go through a series of inoculations so that he could prepare his body to not be an infection or an infestation amongst these people group. You may not know that. That John, he went through training on how to dodge arrows and how to be amongst primitive people that still threw spears and shot arrows in people. He went through training to prepare himself on how to navigate that tension. And then John shows up on the island of the Sinhalese people. He's wearing basically a black Speedo. He has nothing else with him because he wanted to minimize any confusion as to why he was there. And tragically, John spent his entire life preparing to give his life for these people. And they shot arrows in John. And I think 2 weeks ago, we heard the news that John had been killed. You hear that story, you're like, oh, he's a young adult. I mean, he's my age. And that just seems like a waste. But if all you had was this book, if all you had was this, would you come to the conclusion that that was a wasted life? No, you would come to the conclusion that we should give our lives to live a life on mission and on purpose so that we can reach people who have never heard the gospel. That John, he rejected his comforts and he exposed himself to danger and to people that were maybe going to be hostile to him because, listen, he knew that there was a creator who created the Sinhalese people. And that he was separated, that they were separated from their creator. And John had the solution to their problem. He was not worried about infecting them with some disease because he knew that they were ultimately infected with a disease called sin that was separating them from God. And that compelled him to go because he knew he had the solution. I hear stories like this and I read my Bible and I come across verses like Romans 9. You know, where Paul's saying, like, I have a deep sorrow and an unceasing anguish in my heart. You know, I'm like, what creates a deep sorrow and an unceasing anguish in someone? And here's what he said in verse 3, Romans 9, 3, For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my own flesh and blood. That John Cho gave his life in the prime of his life so that people would know Christ. Paul has just said that I wish I could be blotted out of your book, Lord, so that other people would come to know Christ. And I hear stories about John. I read stories about Paul. And I'm like, bro, I don't know if I'm there yet, right? Like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you just, like, if you know Christ, like the Spirit of God is like, you need to say something to that person. You're like, You're like, you must be, I'm tired. And you feel like this pressure, right? And sadly enough, people that are on my wish list, I wish that I would have had the courage to speak to them, and I have not. And when I begin to measure my life up against these men, I see in the mirror a coward. Not a man of courage. And I need the Spirit of God to indwell me and to fill me so that I can live a life on mission. I mean, let's be honest, on your wish list, who did you write down that's going to shoot an arrow into your heart? Like, nobody on your wish list, probably nobody's going to bust a cap in you for sharing Jesus with them, right? The greatest thing that you have to fear is rejection, is an uncomfortable conversation. Let's go, church. Let's live a life on mission. So when I measure my life, I begin to pray prayers like this. And I was thinking about you guys this week. And I just said, oh God, that you would give us power to be a bold witness. That you would help me to fear the rejection of you over the rejection of man. And help me to be a bold witness. Help me to be filled with boldness to carry out this mission. My prayer is for you. And my prayer is that for you as well. But when we're on mission, there's a particular message that we've got to carry. It's not good enough just to go on mission. You need a message. And so what we see here in John is that when he's like, man, when you get in the conversation, you need to tell them that Jesus came for them. That's the mission. But you need to tell them how he came. And here's what he says in John 1:14. It says that we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Hey, point number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. The message. Now, I love this because John, like, he's an eyewitness of Jesus, right? And so he's been there. He's, like, kicked up dirt with Jesus. They've had fish together. I mean, all that stuff. But he tells us something in particular. He's like, man, when I saw Jesus, I beheld that brother's glory. Like, in the church, if you grew up in the church, maybe you've heard somebody say this, man, the Holy Spirit was all on that brother, or God was all over that girl. You know, that sort of thing. It's kind of weird church lingo if you didn't grow up in the church. Just ask questions anyway. And so that's what John says. He's like, man, Jesus, there was something about him. That guy had the glory of God on him. Now, the glory of God, this is a church word. It literally means weightiness, or it could mean that it's anything that when you see, you're just like, awesome, you know. And so it's like the fingerprint of God. It's like when you go, I don't know, last night, if y'all saw the stars, my wife, she's like, girls, look at the stars, you know. So she's telling the girls, look at the stars. And when you look at the stars, you're like, man, we are small. That is awesome. That's amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen the ocean or you've seen mountains. You're just like, who made this? And this is the glory of God. And what John is saying is that all of that glory, all of that sensation, all of that awestruck wonder, that was on Jesus. And we beheld the glory of God when we were around Jesus. We beheld the beauty of God, the breathtaking nature of his wonder. And when we look to Jesus, it exudes the glory of God. He is the image of the invisible God. And the message that we bring on our mission is that Jesus is God. That he is glorious and he is worthy of our life. I wonder, when people hear you talk about Jesus, do they believe that you believe what you're saying about Jesus? Like, do they believe that you've beheld the glory of God? Or do they just believe that you just know a few doctrines? Because listen, if there's no delight in your doctrinal understanding, then you've missed what John is capturing here. That we behold the glory of Jesus. Or do they sense more excitement or passion when the Chiefs game's on, or when you get that new outfit and you're working it, girl? I mean, what do they sense about you? Do they sense that you have beheld the glory of God when you speak? Listen, when we get into a conversation with people, our job is to articulate the greatness of God through Jesus. That's our job, to articulate the greatness of God through Jesus. So let me break that down real quick, because that kind of sounds heady. Like, okay, so I'm supposed to articulate the glory of God through Jesus. So what do you mean by that? Listen, your call is to have a spiritual conversation. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to talk to somebody. Okay, yeah, that's a curiosity. And then turn back to that neighbor and say, but you got to turn it. Yeah, you got to turn that conversation. And so let me just tell you what a spiritual conversation is not, okay? A spiritual conversation is not an argument about the dinosaurs or about the flood or about creation. It's not an argument, okay? Spiritual conversation is not a debate. No one ever debated anyone to Jesus, okay? A spiritual conversation is a personal conversation that takes place with deep listening and emotional sensitivity. It is a personal conversation that takes place with deep listening and emotional sensitivity. And so when you're in that conversation, you've expressed curiosity. You got to turn that conversation from the natural to the supernatural. So here's a couple of phrases you could ask. Hey, what's your story? You just ask that. Or when I say the word gospel, just out of curiosity, when I say the word gospel, what does that mean to you? Or this is one that I've used recently. Hey, do you have a faith? Hey, do you have a faith? And then you just let them speak and let them share their opinion. And then typically what will happen is that conversation will turn back to you, and then you can share your opinion. So if you're on YouVersion, the Bible app, I've listed like 12 or 10 or 12 questions that you can transition from the natural to the supernatural. And so some of you, like if you are, this is really uncomfortable, really new to you, go there and you can wade through some of those different options on how you can turn the conversation from the natural to the supernatural, how you can have that courage to begin to speak the message of Christ. And then when you get the chance to share, listen, your job is to behold the glory of God. And what that means is what he would have said when he beheld the glory of God is like, man, I walk with Jesus. I've seen him do crazy things. He's changed my friend. You know my friend Nick Roth, he changed him. That brother was far from God. And I've seen him this year, beholding the glory, he changed that brother. I've seen him change my friend Michael Pigman. He changed him. He flipped, turned him upside down, and that brother's living on mission and on purpose. I've beheld his glory. And let me tell you what he's done in my life. He's emboldened me and given me clarity on the gospel. And when John beheld the glory of Jesus, what he's saying, he's looking back through the lens of history. He said, I saw him live a perfect life. I saw him die a sinner's death. But then check this out, y'all. I can't explain it, but I can't deny it. I saw him raised from the grave. And so when somebody says, hey, well, what's your story? You need to strategically choose to tell the preferred things that God has done in your life this year. And say, man, let me just tell you, like, I've just experienced the love of God like never before. And they're like, okay, I've never heard you talk about things like that. What do you mean? Well, man, I've been going to this thing, or I've been reading this, or I've been praying this, and this is what God has done in my life. And that you would turn the conversation from the natural to the supernatural, and then you would have the courage to share. And so that lady that had Mac the Denver Dog and her husband, we were talking, and I was able to do this, and we began to talk about scripture and how they grew up in their faith. And she just stops me and says, well, it's obvious that you're really passionate about this. And I'm like, yes, it's kind of a big deal to me. And we're there, and the Rockies are in the background. And I'm like, God, the God that created all of this, and I'm drinking a Cortado, which is a gift from God. And I'm like, the God that created this, like, he wants to know us. And you can enjoy all of this for eternity when you know him. And so you need to turn the conversation, and you need to behold his glory. But the reason why a lot of us don't have the confidence to share our faith is because we haven't beheld Christ much. This word behold, it literally means to contemplate or to spend time with someone. And the things that you behold, you can talk about. Like I can tell you a lot about my wife because I've beheld my wife a lot. I can tell you a lot about my children because I've beheld my children a lot. I've spent time with them. And so some of you, the reason why you don't have any confidence in sharing your faith is because you've never really spent much time practicing that. And so maybe the challenge is for you to go back to your community group or go back to your crew or maybe go home to your family and say, hey, can I practice sharing my faith with you? And they're going to be like, what are you talking about? Just let me practice, right? And any Christian that loves Jesus and that honors God is going to be like, all right, cool, let's do this. And more than likely, when you humble yourself and you begin to get your rep so that you can get better at sharing your faith, it convicts someone else so that they can get better at sharing their faith. Because God has put a plan in motion. It's called you. You are the missionary movement. And you have a message that is compelling, and God wants you to share it. And he wants to give you confidence, but confidence only comes through familiarity. So we need to get our reps on sharing our story and sharing the gospel so that when we speak, we have clarity and we can articulate, because long gone are the days that we can just say, well, I believe in God because the Bible says so. That ain't working in our culture anymore. If you cannot articulate the why behind what you do, then more than likely you're not going to reach anybody. That we need to learn to have confidence with our message, and we need to be bold to share it. See, the mission is incomplete without the message. But what we see here is that Jesus, he didn't come just on a mission. He didn't just come with a particular message, but he came with a particular methodology. I want you to see how Jesus came that John records here in John 1:14. It says that he came, listen, full of grace and truth. Hey, point number three, if you're taking notes, write this down, the method. The method. This is the method by which Jesus came. So you think about all the things that John could have said that Jesus was full of. Like, notice that John didn't focus on Jesus' love and his kindness, though he could have, and those things are certainly true in Jesus' life. John, he didn't highlight Jesus' wisdom. He chooses here, he says, hey, one of the closest friends of Jesus chooses to report that the glory of Jesus was demonstrated in grace and in truth. That nothing that Jesus did with truth diminished his grace. And nothing that Jesus did with grace diminished his truth. That he was literally full of grace and full of truth. And he's called us to reflect his image. He's called us to run in a manner worthy of the calling of Christ and to model our life after Jesus. And so when I see this, I'm like, man, that's what I need to be about. I need to be hinging and focused on being full of grace and full of truth when I have these conversations with people. Because you know this, like when you start talking about spiritual things, like it can come across as, who do you think you are? You know, you think you're all better than this. Only God can judge me, right? Go all Kardashian on them, right? And you just think, oh, who do you think? And you come across as pious, or you can water it down and say, well, you know, it's just some opinions. It's like, no, you have authority. and you need to be full of grace and full of truth. This is the method of the mission. And we need a combination of both. Because listen, if all you are is a truth teller, you're going to be a nuisance. I wish I had a drumstick. I'd go over here and play the cymbal on the drum. Paul says that you can have the most eloquent speech, but have no love and have no grace. And you're like a clanging cymbal, like a three-year-old playing the drums. Nobody cares about that. But then if you have all grace, then it's negligence. And you never call people to change. You never speak the truth in love. And we need to have a combination of both. Let me explain it this way. It's kind of like if you think of it, I don't know how many of y'all are smoothie people. Any of y'all smoothie people? Yeah? Yeah, I know some of y'all smoothie people. All right, let me just be honest. Getting a smoothie and putting on yoga pants and running errands is not a workout, okay? All right, just to be honest. Okay, guys, you got that? And girls too? And so maybe you're a smoothie person. I feel like my table's about to fall. If this collapses, oh, there we go. No, that's better. All right, so I need somebody to help me out. Josh, why don't you come on up here? Y'all give Josh a hand real quick. Yeah. Josh, it is obvious that you are a smoothie person. Okay, weight gain, whey protein. All right. And so here's what I want you to do. I don't know, when it comes to smoothies, watch it. You're going to be my taste tester. Why don't you come stand right here? Come stand right there, okay? All right, you're going to need this right here. Okay, so we're just going to start with that. But I want you to imagine that we just made like a really, really healthy smoothie. And so let's just put a few healthy things in here. I've got some onion. And you've got to get the root in the onion, okay? You got to get that. And then I've got some broccoli. This is how my wife makes smoothies sometimes. She's like, baby, I'm going to make you healthy, right? Put some, you know, like some juice in there, some pomegranate stuff. I got some celery. This is kale, okay? Listen, don't let anyone ever lie to you and tell you this stuff is good, all right? You know, they try to call it superfoods at Chick-fil-A for a little while, but man, that's a lie, all right? And so kale is straight from hell. All right, anyway, so got some kale. Go grab my water real quick. We don't want to make it too. And so, you know, you got some healthy, oh, hang on. That's awkward. We've got some healthy things in there. Not too much juice, okay? But we're gonna make sure it's got a lot of water.
Better be no backwash in there.
No, no backwash. And then, you know, a lot of us, we come and we wanna have something that's really healthy, but we put a little bit of sweetener in it. So that's just a strawberry, okay? So we're just gonna blend this up real quick. It's really healthy. It's really healthy.
That'll work.
Okay, I think the onion root really helped it a lot, so. And then we got that right there. Oh, that's gross. Okay. Okay, so you just have that. So you can just try that real quick. Tell me what you think. Oh, hang on a second. You don't have to drink all of it. You can just try it. You got a little bit of a chunk there. How's that, Josh?
That's great, man.
Do you think that would ever make the menu at like a Smoothie King? You don't have to drink it all. Don't drink it all.
No way.
No way it's going to make the menu at Smoothie King? Is that pretty gross?
Possibly the nastiest thing ever.
But is it healthy?
Very healthy.
Very healthy, right? So a lot of you, when it comes to you trying to share Christ with someone, this is a picture of you. You're like, you know what? I've got a lot of truth for you, buddy. You need to sit down. You know, I've heard that you've had a lot of porn addiction. I've heard you've been smoking a lot of crack and all this stuff. You start going down the list and you say, you know, you need to get rid of your phone. You need to get rid of your crack pipe. And then you're like, okay, next. Who's next in line? Right? And that's how you counsel people. So, and then others of you, you're more like this. So, you know, let's just get something. This was going to represent grace, okay? So we got some, we're just going to put that base there, okay? And then do you like gummy worms, sour gummy worms? Oh, okay. We'll put a couple of those in there. And then really this is the secret. It's Oreos, okay? And so, Josh, you just seem really down. And so we're going to give you a lot of Oreos, okay? And then... And then we got some chocolate. I got this recipe at buddytheelf.com. And so we'll blend that up real quick. Oh, wait, we need to put something healthy in there. Yeah, okay. There's something in there that's a little bit chunky. It may be the worms. We're going to put that right there. Okay, here we go. Oh, all right, this is something you're going to get at Freddy's or something right there. All right, you try that. That's a smoothie. Now try that. Tell me what you think. It's pretty good, isn't it?
That's sweet.
That's really sweet, right? So a lot of you, this is kind of the way you like to talk with people about Jesus, right? And so you come in and somebody comes to you, and maybe it's Josh or maybe it's somebody that you're trying to talk to, and they're like, man, I've been dating this guy, and he just wants me for my body, and I know it, but I keep going back to him, and it's just up and down, or, you know, and that sort of thing. And you just look at that person, and you just look at them and go, it's okay, God loves you. And you just need to marinate in his majesty. You just need to glean in the gravy of his glory. And you never really call them to change. You never ask them any hard questions. And what the scripture is telling us is that we need to have a combination. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you a combination shake here, okay? And so it's going to involve a banana, which is really good. And so if I can open this banana, it's kind of green. Okay? And you got to trust me, this is going to be really good, okay? So you got a banana. You got some peanut butter. Okay. That's what you do when you don't have a spoon, right? Okay, I'm just going to pour that down. This is some vanilla almond milk. Okay, and then, so you've got some really sweet things going on there, but I've got some spinach. Okay, this is going to make it a little bit green. I'll throw a few strawberries in there, and then I'm going to cut off another stalk of this celery. Okay, so this is like a legit, this is healthy, but also tastes good. Like my kids would drink this, Josh, okay? I'm gonna blend that up. Got a little health food. Okay, we're rolling now, Josh. Get that blended up. That peanut butter's gonna make it real creamy. All right, so here we're gonna try this, okay?
It's a little thicker.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you tried that right there. Tell me honestly, how is it?
The peanut butter stands out.
Does it? I may have overdone the peanut butter a little bit. But it kind of looks gross. I don't know if you can see this, but it's really kind of a green color. That's the spinach leaves. But you've got peanut butter in there and banana. You don't look like it tastes real good.
It's not a great mixture.
It's not a great mixture, but it's not bad, is it? And so here's the deal. Y'all give Josh a hand. You can keep that shake right there.
Which one?
I'm just kidding, you put them down. So here's what I'm trying to communicate. That when it comes to you having a spiritual conversation with somebody, you've got to have the blend of truth and grace. Paul, he says it like this in Ephesians 4:15, that you are to speak the truth in love. That you don't just go all truth, you don't go all health food on somebody, because listen, they can handle your truth about once or twice, and then they're just gonna dodge you. Let's just be honest. And maybe you've earned that place in your family. That they don't even want to talk to you anymore because you're like, well, the Bible said, and you just keep thumping them. And then on the other side, a lot of you, you're just so gracious. And this is like, for me, I find myself teetering between these two things. And so some of you, like, you've come up here and talked to me, and you're like, man, that guy's a jerk. Because I'm like, what's your problem? You tell me your problem. I'm like, well, stop doing this. Start doing this. Okay, who's next? You know? And I'm just truth, truth, truth. And then other times, I feel like I teeter and I fall over here into the grace ditch, and I got to find where I can be truth and grace. And I hear people share their story, and I just empathize with them to the point of never calling them to change anything. But Christ, he came on a mission with a message, beheld the glory of God, and his methodology was to be full of grace and full of truth. And we must seek to combine those things if we're going to be able to be a part of the movement that God has called us to be a part of. So again, I was traveling and I got to meet another young adult, and we wound up sitting next to each other on an airplane, and I just struck up a conversation with her, just curiosity. I just said, hey, what have you been doing? And she said, well, I've been applying for medical school. And we began a conversation, and then, you know, we began to talk, and early on in the conversation, I began to talk about if she was involved in church or had a faith. And she said, well, ever since I came out and said that I'm a lesbian, it's been a little bit hard. I was like, yeah, I would imagine that's been difficult. And I had a decision to make right there. Okay, how am I going to respond, right? And so I have curiosity. I've had the courage to go from the natural to the supernatural. And then she shares something like this. And then what am I going to do? Am I going to drop her with the Bible and say, well, you know what the Bible says in Leviticus? You know, like, no. Or am I going to go over here and say, oh, well, that's no big deal. And so what I did, I was like, oh, man, thanks so much for being honest with me. We actually just talked about this in this thing that I'm involved with called Paradigm. I would love for you to listen to this message. And the title is, Can a Christian Be Gay? And I just let her know. I was like, hey, probably some things in there are going to offend you a little bit. But it's a great expression. One of our pastors named Josiah, he preached this message. And I just told her, I said, man, he did a great job of combining social sciences with theology. You should check it out. And then we continued to have a conversation. And by the time that we concluded our conversation, she just said, hey, thank you so much for talking with me. My faith has been really challenged and encouraged because of this conversation. And God wants to use every one of us like that to blend truth and grace and to be a part of the movement called the church. And God wants to use you so that he can work through you to relate to people for the gospel. See, the gospel is this, that God related to us by sending his son Jesus. And he became like us in every way, from womb to tomb. And he became like us so much so that God placed the punishment of our sin upon his son Jesus. And he was rejected in every way by God. He was smitten and scorned by God so that we could be accepted by God. See, in the gospel, you find truth and grace. The truth is that you are hopelessly lost more than you ever want to admit. But the grace is that you are desperately loved more than you ever imagined. So I want to invite everybody just to bow your head, close your eyes. I want you to play along real quick. I want you to use your imagination with me. We're going to finish with this little activity. Use your imagination with me. And so I want you to think of like a pink elephant real quick. Okay, you got it? Got a pink elephant in your mind? All right, get rid of the pink elephant. Kill it or brush it out of the room, whatever you want to do in your imagination. Now, here's what I want you to think. I want you to think that you're standing before God. How do you view God? I don't know if you view God like Morgan Freeman or Gandalf. I'm not real sure where you're at in that spectrum. But I want you to imagine that you're standing before God right now. You got it? Okay, you're standing before God. And he looks at you and he's like, hey, you know, and says you by name. And he asks this question, hey, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? You got your statement in your mind? You're standing before God. Use your imagination. And he says, hey, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Some of you, you're not real sure what you would say in that moment. And if you don't know what you would say in that moment, I want to implore you to begin a relationship with Jesus. And that can start tonight. We would love to begin to talk with you about what it looks like to have a starting point in your relationship with Jesus. Because the scripture is clear that every man will die and stand before God. And I don't know what question he will ask, but it may be a question like this. For those of you who knew what you would say, and maybe you said something like, you should let me into heaven because of nothing I've done, but because of what your son Jesus has done on my behalf. I want you to get God back in your imagination with me, okay? We're almost done. I want you to imagine that God says, great, I'm glad that we know each other. And then he asks this question, hey, what did you do with the opportunities that I gave you to share my message? What would you say? What did you do with the opportunities that I gave you to share my message? I want you to imagine, what would you say? All right, why don't you look up at me real quick. For me, if I was to stand before God, he was asking that question. Like, one of my greatest fears is to disappoint people. One of my greatest fears is to disappoint people that I really love, like my wife. But my ultimate fear is to stand before God and to say, God, you did everything for me and I trusted you. You changed me from the inside out. I beheld your glory. And he said, hey, what did you do with the way that I changed you? What did you do with the message that I entrusted you with? My greatest fear would be to look up at him and just look down and go, I wasted it. And when your fear of disappointing God supersedes your fear of getting rejected by someone that's on your wish list, you'll have the courage to be curious, to turn the conversation from the natural to the supernatural, and hopefully invite people into a relationship with Jesus. Because at the end of the day, it is your job to share and God's job to save. But we will give an account for what we have done with the message that he has entrusted with us. Hey, let me pray for you guys. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for tonight. God, I thank you for my friends that have showed up here tonight, and I thank you so much for the way that your word challenges us and convicts us. God, I pray that you would help us to identify people in our life that you want us to share your life with. That you came to be the light of the world, to be our life and life abundantly. But we aren't called to hoard that. We're called to give that away. Where are the John Cho's in our room tonight? Where are those who will be so compelled by the gospel that we would go to people? We would get over our fear of rejection or our fear of being ignorant. And we would pry a little bit. We would seek to introduce people to you. God, I pray that you would fill this room with boldness. Holy Spirit, that you would fall upon us and give us power to be your witnesses in our spheres of influence for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.